Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 29th of November, 2011, as the trees are turning a beautiful shade of yellow in the old Pueblo. This is like our autumn for about a week, anyway. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show. We are on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We call ourselves The Voice. And our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240 up in Gila County out of Globe, and in Douglas out of Cochise County, it's KAPR AM 930 where they listen to the Buckmaster Show. We're also live streaming the program at buckmastershow.com and on KVOI.com. And for your 24/7 anytime listening, the show is available on three websites now: buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, and tucsonsentinel.com. So lots of opportunities for you to hear the program anytime, anywhere. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to one. We'll begin with a newsmaker interview with the Attorney General for the state of Arizona. Mr. Tom Horn will be with us 20 minutes past the hour. We welcome certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. Shelley has his Tuesday Moneymaker Report. 30 minutes past the hour, we talk about how do you market Tucson to out-of-town visitors. Allison Cooper, who directs the marketing effort at the Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau, will join us. Then we'll close out the program with Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and we are proud to say now the Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts. She gives us her bi-monthly arts update. You can join the conversation anytime. It's the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email your questions at Buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And we begin now with the Attorney General for the state of Arizona, Tom Horn. Mr. Horn, how are you?
It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, Tom, I can't believe it. The year has gone so fast. And I think it was January 3rd when you were sworn in as Arizona's new Attorney General.
That's correct. You have a good memory.
Yeah, what a year. And I believe your last act as the state superintendent of public instruction the morning of January 3rd was to hold, I guess, a special session with yourself.
Yeah, we call it a lame duck session with myself.
And hold TUSD's ethnic studies program in violation of state law. Have you been following? Have you been following the developments on this?
With acute interest.
I bet.
Yeah.
A federal court now has decided to hear the arguments to prohibit John Hoopenthal, the Arizona schools chief, from taking action on TUSD's Mexican-American Studies program. This got very personal for you. Where do you think this is all going to wind up?
Well, Bill, you know, my view is that it's a fundamental American value that we're all individuals, that what matters about us is what we know, what we can do, what is our character, and not what race we happen to have been born into. And that historically, one of the functions of the public schools is to take kids of different backgrounds and teach them to treat each other as individuals. And the Tucson district is doing just the opposite. They're assigning kids to class by race. You're this race, you go to this class. You're that race, you go to that class, just like the Old South. And particularly in the Raza Studies program, Raza means the race in Spanish, where we've gotten really all of the complaints. There's a group of very radical teachers who teach kids that the Southwest should be given back to Mexico, that that the United States is dominated by a white, male, racist, imperialist class that wants to oppress Latinos. One of their textbooks is The Pedagogy of the Oppressed by Paulo Freire, who's a well-known Brazilian Marxist. He would describe himself as a Marxist. And I believe these kids' parents and grandparents came to this country, most of them legally, because this is the land of opportunity, and they trust their kids to our schools, and we need to teach these kids that this is the land of opportunity, and that they can achieve, if they work hard, they can achieve what they want to, and not teach them that they're oppressed. And in fact, I have testimony from a former teacher who had a class, he himself is Hispanic, who had a class where these ethnic studies teachers came from the district office to give lessons, and he said that these lessons were making these kids resentful toward the country. He could see their whole attitude change, where they became angry and resentful people. And this is the exact opposite of what our public schools should be doing. And so when you say it's personal, it's a very deep conviction of mine. As you know, Bill, I was part of the March on Washington in the summer of 1963 when Martin Luther King gave his famous speech saying that he wanted his children to be judged by the content of the their characters and not the color of their skins. And so this is a belief that goes back to my earliest youth, that we're all individuals. And I'm there to fight anybody who tries to teach kids that what's important about them is their race and they should judge other people based on their race rather than by their individuality.
Tom Horn is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Mr. Horn, the final push begins today by the state's Independent Redistricting Commission to adopt final political maps. During our political face-off that we do every Monday, my question to our face-off people was, should the governor now back down on this? And I'll ask you as well, with well in mind that you are on the sidelines in this issue, but as an individual, a citizen of Arizona, what is your opinion?
Well, Bill, I started investigating when there were clouds over the commission because people were alleging that there were allegations about improper conduct. And so when I started the investigation, I thought it entirely possible that there was no improper conduct, that there was that everything was done properly, and that my investigation would show that, and then there'd be more confidence in the system, and that would be a valuable public service. Once I started my investigation, I got testimony from the two Republican members that said that the chairman had been soliciting their votes and in order to make unanimous the selection of Strategic Telemetry, which is the consulting firm. And we had specifically told the commission when we represented them in the beginning before they got their own lawyer, and we trained them on the open meeting law, and we specifically told them you can violate the open meeting law by meeting in secret or by meeting serially, that is, lining up the votes one by one, and then you come to a meeting and it's a sham because you've already lined up your votes. And so we had testimony that that's exactly what happened. The other three refused to testify, and so we went to court to compel them to testify, stating we had probable cause to believe that the law had been violated. Now, the judge held, I think incorrectly, that I would be precluded from proceeding further with the case because in the early stages where we were telling them what not to do, we were representing them, and that then by prosecuting them for violating those things, we were in effect switching sides, which I don't think is true. I think that we could tell them in the beginning, this is the open meeting law and you shouldn't violate it, and then investigate them if they do violate it. But rather than appeal, which would have taken a lot of time, I chose to pass it off to Bill Montgomery, the county attorney in Maricopa County, who I'm sure will do a very good job, and that was and I didn't want to delay the proceedings. I thought that was more important than appealing what I thought was an incorrect decision. So now, you know, aside from talking about what's actually on the record, which I've just done, I really shouldn't comment further in view of the court's holding, which for the reasons I've given you, I did not appeal, that I had a conflict of interest in pursuing the case further.
Here's a question from one of our Buckmaster Show listeners. It's John Ralston. He said it's fine to use his name, so we'll use it. He says, Mr. Horn, fellow attorney generals in New York and Delaware, among others, have rejected a national settlement with the big banks for their fraudulent practices put forth by the Obama administration in favor of their own investigations and prosecutions. Where does your office stand on this settlement and prosecuting fraudulent practices of the banks?
Well, there's no final settlement. It's still being negotiated. Arizona is part of the executive team of a small group of states that act on behalf of all 50 states. So if agreement is reached, I would think it would be likely that Arizona would be part of it, but I don't know whether or not agreement will be reached. In the meantime, only two states, Arizona and Nevada, have actually proceeded with lawsuits, and we have a lawsuit pending against the Bank of America, which has been very active. We've been working very hard on it. We have outside counsel working on it, but we also have lawyers and paralegals in our office working very actively in that case. It's been a very hard-fought case. Bank of America has taken a kind of a take-no-prisoners point of view in their litigation where they do everything they can, and we fight back on an equal level. They moved to move the case from state court to federal court because the federal court proceeds much more slowly, which would give them delays. We battled that and won it and got the case put back in state court. So we're involved very hard fighting right now in litigation, but if an overall settlement is reached, I would think it's likely that we'll be part of it since we're part of the executive team.
Cyber Monday, as you know, was yesterday. A lot of people are using the internet this holiday season. It was a very big Cyber Monday, very, very big dollar-wise. What advice do you have for people using the internet? I know that one of your issues that you wanted, that you ran on, was actually beefing up consumer affairs in the state.
Right. Well, we've told people. I issued a statement, which you've probably seen, Bill, where I've kind of 8 warnings for people to avoid getting cheated over the holiday season. And some of those do relate to buying online. You want to, first of all, use credit cards, not debit cards, because you don't want to put your PIN number into the blogosphere. But even then, make sure you're at a secure site, and it'll show up with a little icon at the bottom of the page that looks like a padlock that'll tell you you're on a secure site. And buy from sources that you have some information about. You don't want to be giving information to people that you don't know anything about.
Well, Mr. Horn, if we don't talk with you before the holiday season, we really hope you have a great holiday. One more quick question. You're targeting telemarketing companies?
Yes, we have sued to stop one company, an air conditioning company, from doing business in Arizona. They call people over and over again, and people ask them to stop, and they don't stop. And I've run across a lot of people who have thanked me for doing that, because if you walk down the street and you talk to people, you'll find a number of them who have been bothered by these calls. We've also proceeded against another company that is engaged in what we regard as cheating, telling people they need new water heaters and new air heaters when they don't. Telling them that they're dangerous, that carbon monoxide will kill them if they turn them back on. Totally untrue statements. The appliances turn out to be perfectly all right, preying on older people. We had one testimony from an 84-year-old where they issued something to her looking like a government statement that these things needed to be checked, which wasn't true, and then telling her that her appliances were no good when they were perfectly good. We've been seeking to put companies out of business who cheat, for two reasons: one, to protect consumers, and the other, to protect the business community, so that ethical people don't have to compete against unethical ones.
Tom Horn, have a great holiday season if we don't talk to you before Christmas. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bill. It's always great to be with you.
All right. Tom Horn, the Attorney General for the state of Arizona, on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be talking about money, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with Shelley Fishman. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media, or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Spiro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Spiro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Spiro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at SpiroAmorePizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And when we want financial advice here on the Buckmaster Show, there is one gentleman we turn to every Tuesday for the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, every Tuesday at about 12:21, and he is Shelley Fishman. Shelley, how are you?
Bill, I'm great. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. We survived. Didn't overeat, I hope. You went out of town.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, I'm the one. The two pieces of the pumpkin pie that I could not resist, to put a plug in for Mona's Danish Bakery. Oh, they do a beautiful job with that pumpkin pie. Over the weekend, it looked like I was actually afraid for what was going to happen with the market, because I'm reading all of this about the European Union, the end of the euro is in sight, banks are preparing for the post-euro. I didn't know what to expect.
Well, and I certainly think it's far from settled. The European community is trying very hard to keep it together and trying to determine what needs to be done at a minimum to strengthen the rules governing the economic union such that they can, in fact, enforce some of the measures that are going to need to be enforced to keep the currency in force, but also to make sure that those countries that have gotten into serious trouble somehow find their way out of that trouble. I understand there was a bond auction in Italy today that went better than they had anticipated. That was kind of the precipitant that I think was creating all of the gloom and doom over the weekend. That went better than was expected. And, of course, yesterday's market reflected that, up almost 300 points. And today, the last time I checked, we were up about 50 points.
And the market went really a great day yesterday on the market, reacting to the big shopping day known as Black Friday.
Yeah, Black Friday was better than people expected. And yesterday's Cyber Monday mm-hmm. was also better than most people expected. And the question is, where are people getting the money for all of this? And that's the question you have to ask. Are people going back into debt? Are we beginning to revert back to the trends that we were seeing in the 90s and the aughts? We have among the lowest savings rates even now in the world, and the cultural systems that seem to support going into debt rather than saving, and that's gotten us into some trouble.
Sunday Times, New York Sunday Times magazine, an interesting article by, I think he's the founder of NPR's Planet Money,
exactly.
Adam Davidson, and he puts forth what he calls, Shelley, four deep thoughts for the week. So why don't you share some of those with us?
Well, first of all, a little bit of background. This is consistent with some of the new thinking that we're getting about the changes that have come about in our economy since the late 70s and how those changes have affected the middle class and how those changes are going to continue to affect the stratification of society. And when
you think about how much we have changed since the 70s and the way we do economic business, it's amazing.
Right. Well, one of the things we see is and complain about loudly is the offshoring
yes.
of U.S. manufacturing. Well, it turns out that we are manufacturing more now than we did even at the beginning of this recession, but we're doing it with 13 million fewer workers. And so we're producing a large number of workers whose skills just aren't needed in this new economy. And you know, one of the other deep thoughts, if you will, is that the inequality between the income earners is even more rampant than we thought, because it's not only between the 1% and the 99%. Even within certain skills, say plumbers, you might have a 5 or 6 times difference, say, from a $20,000 a year plumber to a $120,000 a year plumber. You say, how can that be? But when you look at the skill levels of that $120,000 a year plumber, you come up with something very, very different. And so the fourth of those deep thoughts is that, well, maybe what I really need is a master's degree. Maybe a college degree isn't enough anymore. And what we're seeing, Bill, and this is very disturbing, in 1955 or 60, only about 11% of our population was going to college. Today, it's more than 30% are actually getting college degrees, but it's not enough anymore. You need very specific skills, not necessarily skills that are tied to college degrees, though clearly, if you have a college degree, your chances of being unemployed are far lower than if you don't have a college degree. But if you take a look at the seniors in college and the juniors in college today, they're looking at job markets that are simply closed to them, that we're not seeing the kinds of skills being taught at colleges that the new economy requires. And these are very computer-oriented. They're very process-oriented. They're also very human skills-oriented. So without those skills, it's very hard to get a job. And what we're seeing now, of course, is that people who, over the past maybe 20 years, were falling off a cliff in terms of the job market. They may have been employed, but they were on the verge of being unemployed. And then when the economy tanked, they were in fact unemployed. And now they're unemployed for very long periods of time. People who are unemployed, as hard as this sounds, just need to get retrained. And that investment, as hard as it is to make, is going to be critical to a person in his 30s or 40s or her 30s or 40s who are unemployed, having a hard time getting back. They're either going to have to go back into the professions they came out of at much lower rates of pay, and that is hard to take. Or they're going to have to find new skills.
It is a huge shift in thinking, almost the biggest shift since the beginning of the Industrial Revolution.
Absolutely.
Isn't it? It really
and
is.
And we're not it's going like, back.
No, it's
I mean,
really.
There will be some efforts to bring us back and to demodernize, if you will, to reverse engineer back to where we were so that we can employ more people less efficiently. But Bill, this is inexorable. It's going to move forward, and we have to provide the skills that just take us there.
What are you telling your clients, Shelley Fishman, here as we approach the end of the year?
Well, we're mostly in a defensive posture. I've been saying that. Bond market took a little bit of a hit in the
last
couple
defense.
Of weeks. Play defense. stay the course if you're properly defensively allocated. I'm we're back to where we were at the beginning of the year. I'm still thinking December is going to be in a 5 or 6 point rise in the market, and so I'm staying with my, I'm going to mm-hmm. sink with this ship. I'm staying with 12.4 or 12.5 on the Dow by the end of the year.
And you need a little bit of movement on that.
Because I do. I need 1,000 points.
Yeah, we're about even where we are for the year,
yep,
somewhere.
Yep. So I need 6%.
Yeah, you need 6%. Yeah. And in a hurry. Shelley Fishman, where can people get a hold of you?
795-7950 or shelleyfishman.com. It's real easy, S-H-E-L-L-Y-F-I-S-H-M-E-N, just as it sounds, shelleyfishman.com, and contact me and I get right back to you.
Cannot recommend a guy with a higher recommendation from the Buckmaster Show. Shelley, you're the best. And
hey, thank you, Bill.
Where you work over at Pyramid, they're not half bad either. They're
fantastic. It's about as good as it gets.
Thanks, Shelley.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Herman Cain is acknowledging that the latest allegation he's facing from a woman who says they had a 13-year affair has created a firestorm. He's telling advisors that he is assessing whether it casts too much of a cloud on his Republican presidential candidacy for the candidacy to continue. Authorities now say 464 motorists have reported damage from last week's 40-mile spill of driveway sealant along the Pennsylvania Turnpike. Authorities say they're still investigating the matter. The sentence, 4 years in jail for the doctor who was convicted of involuntary manslaughter in the overdose death of pop star Michael Jackson. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is up about 49 points, the NASDAQ 9 points lower, the S&P trading 4 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you. Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And our Buckmaster Show live line number is 790-2040. You are always welcome on this program, our Buckmaster Show listeners, to join in the conversation. Well, what is the best way to market Tucson to out-of-town visitors? We'll be exploring that question over the next 10 minutes or so on the Buckmaster Show with Allison Cooper. Ms. Cooper directs the marketing department at the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. That's a department that oversees the development and execution of the Bureau's multimedia advertising campaigns that target leisure, business, and international travelers. These campaigns are designed to increase awareness of and travel to Tucson and Southern Arizona. Allison, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you, Bill.
When you think about the who is the visitor when you're targeting someone, is there a, quote, real Tucson visitor, and put real in quotes?
Absolutely. Well, we brand Tucson as the real Southwest. So in terms of a real visitor, on average, they're 48 years of age. They're located primarily in regional markets. Our number one market that we target is in-state travelers, Arizona. California is our number two, and we focus primarily in the southern parts of California, drive market, and also directs and ties closely with airlift. In peak season, cold weather markets, we target Chicago and Denver. They respond very well. We like to showcase our great outdoor that they can experience when they're having some of the brutal worst weather conditions for themselves. And again, airlift ties in.
Yeah, you're talking to a native Chicagoan here.
Okay.
So you don't need to sell me on how bad those winters can be. And that was one of the reasons why I came out to the University of Arizona in 1965. I was kind of like a early snowbird. I wanted to get away from that cold weather.
You know what? I will never live in it again. You know, I am a true believer, very passionate about Tucson in Southern Arizona. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 10 years and certainly dealt with some pretty brutal winters there. And I love the great outdoors here in Tucson.
Why are the visitors choosing Tucson?
Well, the number one reason that Tucson that visitors convert to Tucson is our breathtaking, stunning scenery that we have. It's our five mountain ranges. It's the wonderful outdoor that they can experience almost year-round. It's our saguaros. I mean, you only have those in northern New Mexico and southern Arizona. So truly, the number one reason is the great outdoor and the imagery. It's also our wonderful, good climate. It's the fact that they can do things here that they can't do anywhere else, and it's a real, true, authentic experience.
There is so much competition, as you very well know, for the tourist dollar. We're competing with Phoenix and other places in the Southwest. My wife and I were up in Lake Louise in Canada and Alberta, and we were coming back on the flight, and so many of the Canadians have homes here in Arizona. That's a huge market that you could be going after, and I'm sure you are.
Absolutely. Canada is our number two international market, Mexico being number one. Canadians love the Southwest. They love Tucson. They particularly enjoy our golf product as well as, you know, our heritage and culture.
And air service is so important. We'll be talking with Dick Grunzel of TIA, Tucson International Airport, tomorrow. And I know that's a huge component, isn't it, Allison, in marketing Tucson?
Absolutely. And we pay really close attention to the flights going out of Tucson. Obviously, travelers are much more stressed these days, you know, the economy and just the fast pace of living. They want travel to be convenient. And so we pay attention to those direct flights and regional marketing, and then the fact that people are really holding their income close. We need to make sure we deliver on that, you know, experience. So we work with the Airport Authority on marketing and driving tourism to our region.
The Tucson Metropolitan Tucson Convention Visitors Bureau has taken some serious hits from the city and Pima County. Both the city and Pima County contribute to the Bureau. How do you react to those hits?
Well, we take the high road. You know, a couple of really good things have come out of the audits that that we face this year, one with the city and one with the county. And 85% of our funding does come through the bed tax through the city and the county. And then we also have an agreement with the town of Oral Valley. But through the city audit, they indicated that in 2009, which really was a down economy for us, that for every dollar of our budget, we produce $5.40 in estimated sales tax revenue, which is huge for local residents because it really lessens the burden on them. And then from the county audit, which certainly was a little tougher on us, it also showed that the Bureau was responsible for generating $170 million in consumer spending, which represents a 30-to-1 return on investment. So we're really proud of those numbers. And over the years, Bill, we've worked very hard to generate new business demand. We've done that with our film office, even though, you know, we don't have strong film incentive legislation.
No, like look at New Mexico and the film incentives that they have. If you fly into Albuquerque and you get on one of the freeways there, before long you're going to see a huge sound stage that the state of New Mexico supports for filmmakers. And believe me, filmmakers from all over North America flock to New Mexico because the state government in Santa Fe has made these incentives available. And our government here in Arizona just doesn't apparently feel it's important. I personally think it'd be a huge benefit to Arizona.
Well, our director of the film office, Shelley Hall, she's working very closely with state legislators again for this next session and hoping that we can get that passed. But nonetheless, you know, we have been very effective through her leadership in bringing, you know, major motion pictures like Goats, which filmed here in January. And the estimated economic impact of that was, you know, nearly $1 million. Also, there are commercial productions that she's gone after very effectively, you know, Chevrolet was here and Hyundai, and each one of those projects, again, close to $1 million in economic impact. So it's very important that we still go out and generate demand, you know, for our region. We've also done that through Mexico marketing, and I'm sure you've had Felipe Garcia mm-hmm. here, and that certainly is our blue ocean strategy. It's an untapped market.
How is that doing with the since the downturn of our economy when the stock market went south in the fall of 2008, has that Mexican travel market held pretty steady?
It has. It really has.
Here we are with the big shopping season, of course. This is when so many of our Mexican neighbors like to come up and go to the malls.
Absolutely. And we are geared up for the Mexico shopper. You know, it's interesting how we market Tucson and Southern Arizona as the real Southwest. Well, our Mexico marketing team really focuses on shopping. I mean, that's what the Mexico visitor really wants from us and what we can truly deliver. Felipe Garcia, our VP, who oversees that, has done very well in working with, you know, small businesses here in town and helping them become, you know, Mexico ready and that they can truly benefit from cross-border promotion. So not only is he focused on the Mexico visitor, he's also working very hard in other industries as well to drive the economy through that, you know, through Mexico.
1242 on the Buckmaster Show, and we are talking with Allison Cooper, and we're talking about marketing Tucson to out-of-state and in-state. You mentioned in-state is a huge part of the business, and we're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line right now. Allison, just slip on that headset, okay, if you will, so we'll be able to hear caller Robert to the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Robert. You're with Allison Cooper.
Allison, I just have a comment and then a question. My relatives from back east are conditioned to think of Scottsdale as the Wild West, when in fact that's developed into nothing but parking lots and car dealerships, Frank Lloyd Wright Boulevard. And instead, Tucson really represents what they seek once they get here. So I hope you're positioning us directly against Phoenix. And lastly, I don't know enough to really ask an intelligent question, but how is social media being used to help market Tucson?
Two good points there, Robert. Thank you.
Yeah, excellent questions. Definitely, we believe that Tucson is the real Southwest and that we have the natural assets, just as you've indicated. I think we're very different from Scottsdale. When you look at the seven destination drivers, why people choose Tucson over competing destinations and even Scottsdale, and yes, we do compete up north. You know, it's the natural surroundings of our resorts and spas, the real rich and rugged ranches that we offer. When you think of White Stallion Ranch or Tanque Verde, very, very different product. So I couldn't agree with you more that we are quite different than Scottsdale. What I will say, though, Scottsdale has $12 million to market.
Wow.
And then you also have five other municipalities in the greater Phoenix area. Right now, our budget is $6 million. So if we're fully funded, then we can go after and compete in that red ocean, because we're all competing against various destinations. But we're also, Robert, competing against whether or not a traveler chooses an iPhone over taking, you know, a weekend getaway.
And his social media question, how are you using social media?
Yeah, there have been dramatic shifts in the last year and a half, and we have been very responsive to that. Our number one goal is to elevate customer engagement and interaction with the brand. And so social networks are huge. We have Twitter, Facebook. We also have YouTube that we're very fully engaged. We have incredible high-definition video that competes with Scottsdale and other destinations in the Southwest that we're working very diligently to get that video viewed in key markets and audiences.
Allison Cooper, thank you very much for spending a few minutes with us here on the Buckmaster Show talking about marketing Tucson as we come into the prime time for Tucson tourism. Allison, thanks a lot. The website for Tucson?
VisitTucson.org.
Oh, that's easy. Okay, Allison, thanks a lot for being with us.
Stay with us
now on the Buckmaster Show.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go?
Travel hassles, long drives,
expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
$12.50 on the Buckmaster Show, and every other Tuesday we try to bring in Margaret Regan, the Buckmaster Show contributor on arts, and she is the arts editor of the Tucson Weekly. Margaret, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
One thing we can say about Tucson and the arts, there is no shortage of productions of the Nutcracker.
No, indeed not. As I said in my story, which is going to appear this week, we live in the Nutcracked Pueblo. We have at least seven productions, and I think there's still a few more small ones, you know, small children's studio. And I also wrote about an interesting one down in Sahuarita, not too far away, and a really pretty great one up in Phoenix. So we love the Nutcracker here in Tucson.
Any particular reason why we seem to love the Nutcracker so much?
Well, you know, it's
And do you love the Nutcracker?
I do love the Nutcracker.
I
try not to let a Christmas go by without seeing it. I love the music. I love the colorful costumes. And the dancing is really pretty fabulous. But, you know, it's not just Tucson. It's the whole United States, and people have written about this. It's not that popular in Europe, where it originated, of course, because that's the origin of ballet. But in the United States, every year we see more and more productions. And interestingly, people seem to adapt them to their local region. One of the best known ones in Tucson is a Southwest Nutcracker, which is performed by Tucson Regional Ballet. I think they told me they're up to their 17th year of doing it. The whole thing, rather than being set in late 19th century Germany, is set in 1880s Tucson.
Oh.
Yeah. And instead of a sugar plum fairy, we have a prickly pear fairy. Instead of the mouse king, we have the coyote king. We have Tio Diego instead of Drosselmeyer. So it's actually, it's very charming. same music and pretty much, you know, the same kind of classical ballet, but the setting is so very different. It's just lovely.
Joey Rogers and his team of dancing in the streets, and this is a great story, and we'll learn more about it when Joey is with us on, I believe, Thursday here on the Buckmaster Show, and Dancing in the Streets will be producing a version of the Nutcracker, and I think this year they're going to be at the Fox, which is great.
Yeah, they are, the Fox Theater, and theirs is called El Cascanueces, which I'm sure you know is the Spanish word for nutcracker.
Yes. So lots of Nutcracker, and you break it all down in this week's Tucson Weekly, which will be available online tomorrow night, and some newsstands have it, I guess, late tomorrow afternoon, but certainly by Thursday, everybody has their Tucson Weekly. You also get into some classical music this week, or no?
I'm not writing about it,
but
I
sure we're going to sure talk about
sure
it right
would
now.
Like to mention, sure. The Arizona Friends of Chamber Music, they're in their something like 60th year of providing very high-quality classical music to Tucson.
And our good friend Jean-Paul Birny.
Jean-Paul Birny, and Birny, I'm sure you've interviewed him many times
on the TV side. Yeah, and he was very, very, and remains very passionate about classical music.
Right, yeah, and I talked to Jean-Paul recently, and as he explained to me, the kind of small chamber music quartets that he brings to Tucson are of the caliber that you'd find in a place like New York City or Paris or London. The group he's bringing in next week, now this is Wednesday, December 7th, is called the Takox String Quartet. They're out of Colorado, but they do something like 90 performances a year all around the world. They're doing a whole season in New York City this year at the 92nd Street Y, I think it's called, which is, you know, a high-ranking kind of a place for people to play. But we're having them right here in Tucson, easy access at the Leo Rich Theater next Wednesday night with a program of Haydn, Bartok, and Beethoven.
So I think it's safe to say that Jean-Paul and his colleagues have really put classical music on the classical music scene map across the country.
Absolutely.
And North America and perhaps the world.
Yeah.
Because these are, as you say, top quality musicians who are traveling to Tucson from all over.
That's right. And, you know, they do a big festival in March, which is an amazing thing, 1 week solid of chamber music with many different groups coming in. And the other thing interesting about them is they actually commission new work. Mm-hmm. I mean, how rare is that for a city the size of Tucson to have an organization that commissions new classical pieces from composers living today? It's pretty amazing.
It is, and our kudos to Jean-Paul and his team. Visual Arts, the UA Museum of Art.
Yeah, now I haven't gone over to see it yet, but they have a big show that opened in the last week or two called The Border Project, Soundscapes, Landscapes, and Lifescapes. As I understand it, it's a huge presentation, multi-genre arts, all about the borderlands, which, as some of us have often said, I write about it in my book, The Death of Joceline. The borderlands are kind of a distinct cultural place. You know, we're very connected. Arizona and Sonora, our neighbor to the south, kind of a distinct cultural zone. And that's what this show looks at.
Certainly we are a contiguous region.
Yeah, absolutely contiguous, but even more going back and forth.
But culturally and so many other ways,
yeah.
Food, whatever.
Yeah, in every way. Some of the artists who are going to be showing, who are showing at the museum, are a group from Nogales, Sonora called Taller Yonke, which means junk studio.
Hmm.
And they've made a name for themselves doing murals and public art all around Nogales. And they had a big piece on the border wall, which I wrote about quite a bit in the past. Really interesting, a collaboration with a U of A professor here. And recently, the Homeland Security replaced the fence in Nogales, and it had served really as a canvas for artists, many artists, at least on the south side of the border, because we didn't really allow it on
so
the north side.
So they took it down. And
yeah, so it was actually
it, to an undisclosed
it was actually
51 up in Nevada.
No, it was actually a very nice story. They gained the cooperation of the Border Patrol to allow them to take some of this important art down off the wall before those old walls. You know, what they were doing was putting an even bigger and stronger wall in and tearing down the old kind of junky-looking fence. Not that the new one is attractive.
So this kicks off this border project event. There'll be a symposium,
scholarly symposium this weekend.
And Friday and Saturday. Then the kickoff, guess there might be Mexican music, I would expect.
Thursday night at the U of A School of Art, we're hearing some Mexican music from some professors down at the university in Hermosillo. They're saying it's blues and jazz in a Mexican way. So
only a minute to go, but we want to mention an important independent movie about birth on the border.
Yeah, that's right. And you probably don't know this, but I am in a book club with all midwives. Mm. And I had my son with the midwives many years ago and very interested in midwifery.
So there's a connection there.
There is a connection. And there's this movie tonight at the U of A School of Public Health called Catching Babies. Mm. And it's free. And it's going to be about midwives in El Paso. And I don't know what it's all about yet. I haven't seen it. But it should be quite interesting because it's being promoted as a story about birth on the border.
That's tonight at the College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. I think that is in Drachman Hall. It is a free movie. It's called Catching Babies.
Yep, at 6:30 tonight.
Okay, so there's lots to talk about as we did, and there is lots to write about, which you did, and that is appearing this week in the Tucson Weekly. Margaret Regan talking about all the whole rundown of the whole cavalcade of nutcrackers, the who, what, when, and where. Yep. Margaret, good to see you. Thanks a lot. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah, good to see
you. Did
you
have a nice Thanksgiving?
Oh, lovely. Yeah, thanks. How about you? Gorgeous weather all weekend long.
So beautiful, so beautiful. Yeah. Margaret Regan with us on the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers Rieger and Associates Public Accountants, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it today for the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be back with you noon to 1 live on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. Have a great afternoon. See you tomorrow at noon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.